Hello there again. It is the next day. Usually like to wait till the next day to do the tarot reading, so I've got some space between me and the astrology bit. I don't really think I have any astrological afterthoughts, but of course, no sooner do I say that than I get one. This partly comes from Amanda, who noted what we were discussing. It comes from a discussion with Amanda Painter. She, happy birthday, by the way. Amanda's a Taurus, too, and one of many Tauruses that I know and love. And we were talking about Venus in Aries, and there is the phenomenon of the Taurus sun with Venus in Aries, which somebody should write a little monograph about because it's such a compelling and persistent phenomenon of astrology. Taurus sun, Venus in Aries. But anyway, we are about to be in Taurus sun, Venus in Aries. And at the same time, we are also in Mars in Libra. And what this is going to do for a while and through a number of, a good many of the solar return charts during Taurus, I guess Venus goes in Friday or Saturday or so, changes signs from Pisces to Aries, is that Venus will be in Aries and Mars in Taurus, and both will be in what is called in detriment, and they will also be in mutual reception. I explain mutual reception, I think, in the first section, planets that occupy one another's signs. It is a powerful position and can be challenging because the energy loop can seem to have no way out. So that Mars is going to be in mutual reception, technically called mixed reception, with Saturn, and in mutual reception with Venus. So there's going to be a lot of this energy going on. And in the highest possible light of considering a mutual reception, lots of ways to think about these things. I think of it as an option. It may be an option that you can exercise once. It may be one that you can exercise routinely as a way of switching points of view or switching positions. And that, by the way, is something that I would recommend highly with the Venus and Mars mutual reception. I think at its best, this is a mutual reception about being able to see one another's points of view, about taking anyone really in your life, particularly someone who you're the most intimate with, and most likely the whoever fits the identikit of Mars retrograde in Libra, and being able to get inside their point of view and seeing life from their perspective. There are a few things that are more grounding and more healing, and quite often, especially where there is any tension in a relationship, more helpful than being able to see someone else's point of view. And it's fairly rare to find. We do tend to get stuck in our viewpoints and lead one another to have to do quite a bit of convincing when it comes to, you know, please see where I'm coming from. And so the more you can do this, the better. Venus in Pisces, which is in place right now, about to, move into the void, of course, area of Pisces before it changes signs. That may be associated with some intense kind of emotional transformations. Is empathic. And so Venus in Pisces is a very helpful placement. And that is where Venus was for the eclipse on Tuesday. And that position will have lasting value. That symbol will stand for all of us with strong Taurus placements in our chart. Though Venus does migrate over to Aries, and that's when the take that conscious step of seeing someone else's viewpoint will be very helpful. Let's look at some tarot cards and see what we've got going on. Cards illustrated by my Taurus sun friend, Dr. James Wanless. And I do love this tech. It's beautiful. I'm not sure the part about being a first deck. I think that working with a couple of traditional decks is good. The two traditional decks I recommend are the Rider-Waite Tarot and then one called the Jodorowsky Tarot. Very hard to find, but maybe, well, along with the Voyager, my favorite deck. It's amazing. It's a recreation of the Tarot de Marseille, and it's gorgeous. Renaissance era deck. Okay, well, I need a little more room on my desk here for these cards. I'm using what's called the Celtic Wings spread. It's similar to the Celtic Cross, only it's a little more flexible, a little more space to work. I think a little bit easier to understand. It happens to be symmetrical. I'm a fan of bilateral symmetry, as is nature. All right, let's see what we get here. Now, I draw the cards in one order, and then I modify the order for reading them. And the card that I read first is the fourth card, the card for what you want, the intent card. Turning that over, we see Reflection, Two of Worlds. This is an awesome card, given all the themes of your astrology, given the power of the reflection of Mars in Libra, and then beginning over the weekend of the first weekend in May, Beltane weekend, the mutual reception. So look for that reflection in the world. The card is many scenes of snow-capped mountain peaks, lakes with quite a lovely collage of basically a combination of evergreen trees, snow, mountains, some celestial symbols, looks like a comet, and ice crystals. And the card is called Reflection. So let's keep that in mind. And it's a gentle reflection, if there is one. And it's a, the scene is cool. It's, you know, it's not, I wouldn't say it's cold, even though it's depicting snow. It's more of a freshness in the air. Okay, the card that comes up in position one, first position, this is what covers you. That card is Synergy. Synergy is the whole system principle. The whole is greater than the sum of the parts. This is one reason why, you know, it's so compelling to work with collaborators. As one of the photographer said in the magnificent book, The Family of Man, which inspired me and many other people to pick up a camera, we too form a multitude, the Six of Worlds synergy. Okay, second position, that which surrounds you and is in the process of leaving, confusion. So there is a moment of confusion. And as my friend Scott Kallikstein was fond of saying, confusion is the state before enlightenment. Funny kid. Okay. It's probably true also. Third position, the Chariot. This is a fun card. He illustrates it with a runway. Very modern guy. That's the whole point of this deck, is to get out of all the kingly, queenly, courtly stuff and bring the metaphors into the modern world. And so he's showing he understands this archetype when he puts a runway in the card. Now the beauty of the chariot card in the traditional illustrations, and by that I mean in the Mersey tarot, which would include the Jodorowsky tarot and then also the Rider-Waite deck, is that the chariot driver is sitting in the chariot and the horses or sphinxes, depending on the deck, are poised and ready to go in front of him, but he has no reins. So in the esoteric tradition of the tarot, there's often one symbol in the card that tips you off to the deeper meaning of the card. And in the case of the chariot, that symbol is the oddity of the driver of a carriage or a chariot sitting ready to go, but the horses have no reins. He controls them without the use of physical means. He's mastered the so-called animal nature. He doesn't need a whip to control these horses. He doesn't need leather straps. He's one with them. Also, one of the other things that tips you off about the chariot is that the chariot's not moving yet. So it's anticipating the moment before movement. Okay, and what would that be? The next card is This Is Before You. The card is Art. That would be the 14th trump. So far we've got two trump cards here. It is also called Temperance in the traditional deck. It is the card of alchemy. Its corresponding card is the Lovers. So it is the fusion and unification of opposites as opposed to the expression of division and polarity. And it's a fantastic card. There's a rainbow depicted. And let's see. There's hands. I'm going to get a magnifying glass and see what's in those hands. Grandpa keeps a magnifying glass on his desk now. But let's see. That's what I thought. It's Quicksilver. It's Mercury. So there's a reference. don't try this at home. The person is pouring liquid mercury. Mercury, the only metallic substance that's a liquid at normal atmospheric temperature, pouring it from hand to hand. That, by the way, is a reference to alchemy, but it's also a reference to the corresponding card, the Lovers, which is ruled by the planet Mercury. Reading tarot, you start to integrate all of these symbols. It's a wonderful thing. I highly recommend it as an esoteric hobby or as just any hobby. And tarot taught me art, taught me how to stand in front of a painting and know what I'm looking at. Oh, there is some kind of a flower with the kind of sex organs thrusting out, but it looks like an ostrich. So it's a mixture, that's collage for you. It's a mixture of this kind of like a tiger lily, I think, with a, instead of all the flower genitalia, there's this bird with a long neck. Another bird right above him. Some butterfly right above that. Some massive black form that looks like something that is out of The Lord of the Rings. A waterfall, but it could be metal and jewels, and a lot of blue space and gold. The themes in this card are blue and orange and yellowish. Art, the merging of opposites, the synthesis of who you are through the creation of art, and art as an experience of self-creation. Both. The poet is the work of the poem. Okay, next card. Resistance. Inventor. Came up upside down. I'm of two minds about inverted cards. I generally tend to flip them upright right away. That's partly in the Crowley tradition, where the cards in the Toth Tarot, have no inverted position. And sometimes, though, they seem to want to be inverted. In this case, the resistance is a creative faculty of self-invention. The faith that you are someone who is an innovator. Taurus kind of is an interesting character there, because there's one aspect of Taurus that is so bound up with tradition. And there's the other aspect of Taurus that can produce some of the most shockingly original people ever, whose developments and inventions seem to persist like some ancient temple that was built using space alien technology to assemble all the marble, and it's still standing 7,000 years later. Taurians like David Byrne and Sigmund Freud and not lots of people who just, their ideas bend everything around them. So there's no conflict in that. And there is a great harmony, I believe, in being invested in tradition and being capable of extreme innovation. Joseph Crusoe, my former therapist and one of my mentors, is one of those people who's one of the most Taurian people I know and one of the most radical people I know. Interesting guy. And this is a Taurus thing. I mean, so don't worry about that conflict between the you that has your definite traditions and wants everything to be a certain way and never wants to move house ever, and the you that is, ready to change everything. Okay, we come now to the relationship positions. In my spread, there are two of them. And in the old spread, there's one. So two's not that many, but it's twice as many as one. And the first one is the Seer, the first card. So it's a court card, the Sage of Wands. So it's cool to get a person in the position of relationship, because it's probably a little bit easier to identify who the person is based on the description. And this is described as a seer. And the imagery is of the shaman. It's the wise, very seasoned person, somewhat older, on the edge of the community, who always seems to have been there and always seems that they will be there. And in truth, they have always been there, and they will always be there. Then, interestingly, I work with a double deck. Probably have said this before. Two decks of the, Voyager cards mixed in together. I like to do that. I had a triple Crowley deck for a while. And one of the reasons I do this is to give the cards a chance to speak up a little bit and to create a different kind of synchronicity than most readers would get from a tarot spread, because most readers only use one deck. And the card that comes up again a second time is the Inventor. And so there's a connection point here between someone who embodies the Inventor and yourself who is flirting with and or resisting the concept of the inventor, in reality, there's a perfect meeting. And so I suggest you be open to the person with whom you are an effective co-inventor, collaborator of innovation. Nice, harmonious cards of relationship with purpose. I'm one of those weird people who thinks that relationships all need a purpose, that the purpose of the relationship is not the relationship. Now, maybe I'm missing something, but I think that relationships create a lot of energy, and the energy created by two people harmonizing can be put to good use, and that the harmony will be enhanced by the collective energy being harvested for a purpose. I think one of the problems with a lot of relationships is empty hands or the devil's workshop. And I think that purpose helps keep a relationship busy, whatever that purpose is. The purpose could be, we exist for the purpose of awesome sex, or we exist for the purpose of getting together every weekend and making awesome food, and then we eat it. And then every now and then we invite some people over to also eat that food. It could be both. It could be, we exist for the purpose of creating theater, whatever the thing might be. There's an expression of and a sharing of mutual values. Now, I know a lot of people like to sit around and watch football or something, and I'm one of those weirdos who doesn't, so I might have a little more time on my hands, but I don't think so. All right, two outcome cards. The outcome at present course and speed, and then the sum up the whole story card. So outcome at present course and speed is the death card. Now, for some, this is a frightful card. This card tells me that you are pointing your life in the direction of real change. Were there one single other card that showed that you were in some way out of alignment with yourself, that you were in some way grounding negative energy, I might be more concerned. But with all of this harmony around, the implication is that you are entering a space in your life where you engage with a process of change and where there is no turning back. Last card to sum everything up. Actor, one of my favorite cards. It's a lovely card. It's a Japanese actor is depicted in a ritual. Well, the artists have decorated him ritually, but I'm not sure if this is a kabuki actor. And then there is somebody who looks kind of like Toth illustrated in the image, and there is a kind of a, if you imagine that the sport fencing is a sportsman-like ritualization of something, this card illustrates the real thing, whatever it would be. Someone in kind of armor with a very dangerous weapon. The weapon is on an angle. I would say it's like around on a 75-degree angle. So it's a bit evocative of an erect penis, which I think is the yang element of the card. And I always get a good vibe off of this card. The vibe I get off of the actor card in this deck, which by the way is the Man of Wands, so it's the Knight of Wands, is take action, or you are taking the correct action. Do something, or you are doing the right thing, one or the other. And that's where we leave off with the spread. All right. Well, I've learned lots in this. As I often say, when I do a reading and I learn a lot, that's my kind of reality check that real work happened. If you have any questions, you are invited to write to me, eric@francis.pw. Probably better to not write on a Thursday or a Friday. Those are somewhat frantic days with planet waves. Weekends tend to be a pretty good time to send me personal email. If I don't reply within a day, just write a second time, please, because I might have lost your email and not been able to find it, eric@francis.pw. Since you're probably a Taurus sun, I do recommend learning about your rising sign. Find out what it is. You need your birth time for that. And then when you get the chance, listen to some of my materials as they relate to your rising sign. For example, the spring report for your rising sign. The spring report for Taurus, by the way, is a whole different reading than this one. It is it came through like thunder and lightning, first of all, and it was focused on the theme of healing. A really fantastic reading, and it was so strong and so vivid that I thought, what else can I possibly say? But all these other themes came up in this reading. But the Taurus spring reading has this very strong focus on the concept of you embodying your role as a healer. Probably worth checking out. I will most likely see you next if you are a all-access member or regular listener of these things I do at the mid-year report. That will be focusing on Jupiter ingressing Leo. That's exciting. And that is that's when we've moved on from the Grand Cross and Eclipse and Mars retrograde is when Jupiter moves into Leo and Mars moves on to Scorpio. I think will be good times. We have after all of the insanity of the first half of the year, the stars and planets do seem to calm down a little bit. Now, often when I say that, there's something I've missed. But I, for one, will be happy to have moved on from the relentless quality of these movements that really span from January 1st, when there was the Capricorn new moon and the first iteration of the Grand Cross, clear through May 19th, when Mars stations direct in Libra. Almost 5 solid months of everything. All right. A pleasure working for you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to find me if you need me. I'll catch you on a different day. And bye for now.